You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Okay, so to get us started today, I have a question for you, Jeff.
All right.
All right. How long have you been in radio?
Oh, wow. I've been in radio for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been in Mankato. Wow. This September, it'll be 20 officially, so.
Wow. What drew you to a career in radio?
It was actually a project in high school. We had to job shadow somebody. I always wanted to go to a radio station, so I job shadowed a radio station. And they said, "Do you want a job?" I said, "Sure." And that's how I got started. And I just always like, I love music. I love, obviously, I have a problem talking. That's what my report cards always said. So here we are.
I love 22 it.
22 years later. That's so crazy to think about.
I love it. That's fantastic. So I think you probably can see where we're going to go today.
I think so.
We're going to talk about the history of radio in the Mankato area. So sit back and be surrounded by history. So in modern society, radios are common technology today in cars, in our home, heck, on our phones, yeah. Right? In fact, in today's world, one would be hard-pressed to find anyone who has not heard of, seen, or used a radio during his or her life, regardless of how old or young they may be. This was not always the case, however. Before the 19th century, wireless radio communication in everyday life was a thing of fantasy. Even after the development of the radio in the late 1800s, it took many years before radios went mainstream and became a household fixture. The history of radio is a fascinating one that changed how the world connected and communicated from distances both far and near. Prior to the 1920s, the radio was primarily used to contact ships that were out at sea. Radio communications were not very clear, so operators typically relied on the use of Morse code messages. This was a great benefit to vessels in the water, particularly during emergency situations. With World War I, the importance of the radio became apparent and its usefulness increased significantly. During the war, the military used it almost exclusively, and it became an invaluable tool in sending and receiving messages to the armed forces in real time without the need for physical messenger. After World War I, numerous radio stations were born in the United States and set the standard for later radio programs. The first radio news program was broadcast on August 31st, 1920, on the station 8MK in Detroit. The station was owned by the Detroit News, and it covered local election results.
All right.
This was followed in 1920 with the first commercial radio station in the U.S., KDKA in Pittsburgh. The first regular entertainment programs were broadcast in 1922, and by this time it was reported that over 1 million radios were in use in the United States.
Wow.
I know. Quick, huh?
Yeah, really quick.
In Minnesota, WLAG was Minneapolis's first commercial radio station in 1922. Today, that station is better known as WCCO.
Oh, wow. They sent celebrated their 100th year last year then. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Pretty neat, huh? In the U.S., the radio became a source of news and entertainment to a country struggling with economic depression and war. Radio broadcasting in the early 1920s through the 1940s was known as the Golden Age of Radio. During this period, radio was dominant and filled with a variety of formats and genres. People regularly turned into their favorite radio programs, commentary, history, horror, news and information, radio theater, science fiction.
I love it.
You name
it. It's honestly one of the movie. Christmas Story.
Yes.
He has to gather around and listen to Annie Oakley. I love that.
Little Orphan Annie.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And she was giving the
ring, so.
Yeah, secret to code, secret code that she was trying to tell him.
Drink? Yeah. Your Ovaltine?
Exactly. Was what was running through my head too when I was working on this podcast. So the question is, 1922, we've got a radio station in the state of Minnesota. So when did radio hit the airwaves right here in the Mankato area? The answer is on July 13th, 1938. And here's the story ripped from the headlines from the Mankato Free Press on July 13th, 1938.
Oh, I like this. This is exciting.
I know. So I'm thinking, because you're the radio guy, you should read the, like, as if it's a news story that just came off the press. How about that?
KYSM, the recently completed Mankato radio station, contracted at a cost of approximately $100,000, was officially on the air for continuous operation yesterday when the first full-day program was broadcast from the studios on the second floor of the Southern Minnesota Supply Company building. I just realized I'm reading it in like a newsy voice after all.
I know,
I
love it.
Going to.
Keep it up. Keep it up. We got more.
All right.
Tell us the story.
Granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to operate at a frequency of 1,500 kilocycles, the station will be on the air 19 hours daily, 6 a.m. to 1 a.m., with the exception of change in schedule on Saturday and Sunday. Broadcast Saturday will be until 2 a.m., and on Sunday, the station will go on the air at 7 o'clock in the morning. During the day, its broadcasting power was 250 watts, and during the night, power was 100 watts. Negotiations for the licensing of KYSM were begun more than a year ago by F.B. Clements and the company who owned the station. Construction was started soon after a license had been granted by the Federal Commission, and the first official broadcast was made Monday afternoon at 5:40 when the final approval was received with from Washington officials. I like that. Everything was done. It's created. Oh, you can go now. Oh, okay, thanks. Although constructed on a smaller scale than some stations in the country, KYSM has been built with the latest and best equipment to ensure good reception in this area. The transmitter and antenna tower are a 281-foot vertical radial structure erected on Belgrade Hill, was completed several weeks ago. Main studios and offices of the station, situated on the second floor of the Southern Minnesota Supply Company building, have been modernly equipped and decorated. Is there more? Do I keep going?
Keep going. There's more.
Two studios provide. The largest studio, with a seating capacity of 150 persons, will be used for broadcasts to large groups and for programs to which invitations will be sent out. I love that part, by the way.
I know.
Because old radio, they'd be like, live studio audience, like,
exactly.
What?
150 people in that space.
I know. And then a lot of radio DJs now don't even want somebody looking at them at all. Like, leave me alone. Two studios. Let's see, where was I at? Sorry. The seating capacity in the second studio of 25 to 30 persons. Two small announcer stations are connected with the main rooms. A fifth studio, which will be used for the late night broadcasts and emergencies, has been constructed at the Belgrade Hill Tower. Offices adjacent to the studios accommodate the program department, including the newsroom and music library and the advertisement organization. Whoa!
I know.
Is there more?
There is.
Oh. I feel like I got trapped into this somehow.
You kind of did. I love it.
Between 16 and 17 full-time employees will be maintained on the combined staff of the program, commercial and engineering departments. KYSM programs will emphasize features of interest in the Southern Minnesota locality, according to the manager. The intention is to run a minimum of recorded and transcript programs, which will occupy less than 25% of the time on the air. Transcript services of the National Broadcasting Company, Standard Radio Associated Programs, and the Thoris Services have been contracted. The International News Radio Wire Service has been leased for news broadcasts, and King Features has been contracted for women's and other type programs. Mankato High School seniors will be selected as announcers for sustaining programs in the fall, and staff announcers will have charge of commercial programs. Nellie Olson, Mankato High School English instructor, is now working with the station staff on selection of student announcers.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah.
So when this opened, their wattage that they were, like, you know, putting out there was 250 watts during the day and 100 watts at night. What are the kind of wattages that are happening now? Do you know? I mean, I can't imagine that they have to be like in the thousands,
well,
right?
Well, it's not as much as you probably think it is. Let me think here. Oh, we're 1,000 1,000 watts. That's what KFSP is. By the way, KISM AM is now KFSP. I'm sure it may be farther in your notes, maybe.
That's right.
We changed the callers a few years ago because that's what we have the Fan Mankato on. And so it's Kato Fan Sports. That's
awesome.
KFSP.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. So all that started right here. Pretty cool stuff. So back to our little history lesson. KYSM AM, which we just learned, right, also lives right here in Radio Mankato land, was the radio station in the Mankato area for a decade when new technology was developed known as FM.
Ooh.
So KYSM FM went on the air on January 31st, 1948 on 103.5 megahertz. I don't know what that means.
That's the... That's the frequency.
Yeah, okay. Frequency. Yeah. All right.
Megahertz is the frequency, whatever.
Like the station.
That's the FM side. And because the AM side is kilohertz.
Got it. Oh, yeah. There we go. See, we're learning new stuff every day. It was the first Minnesota station to try the new wave of FM. The primary FM signal was simulcast with the station's AM band, broadcasting the same programming over both. But the station's owners also saw a potential market in the FM channel's side bands, frequencies only slightly removed from the main one, though through which light, classical, and instrumental, commonly referred to as muzak, could be picked up in local offices, a.k.a. it's background music, our elevator music.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy.
So that's back in 1948.
Especially what FM radio has become since then. It's like a mainstream entertainment value then,
I know.
Right?
It's crazy. So newspaper ads taken out by KYSM touted the new technology for its stereo effects and virtually static-free reception, features impossible to produce on AM. But there was a program... Or there was a problem. Just because KYSM could broadcast higher quality sound on FM didn't mean people had the means to listen. The reception technology didn't catch up until later. There were only a few receivers around. Car radios and portable radios were only AM. It wasn't until the end of 1948 that local retail stores began advertising a new innovation in radio receivers, AM and FM.
So crazy.
At this time, listeners could hear Burns and Allen, Jack Benny, Red Skelton, and a host of other stars that comprised the golden age of radio. For two decades, KYSM ruled the local FM airways just as it had done with the AM on a decade before. But hot on KYSM's heels in the radio business was this very station, KTOE, the Minnesota Valley Broadcasting Company, owned by H.W. Linder as president and Don Linder as vice president, began airing their new news talk format station at 1420 AM frequency in April of 1950. The station's call sign, KTOE, stands for Kato. They wanted Kato as in K-A-T-O, but it was already taken by a station in Arizona. And I've just learned recently that they went back and they bought that station.
Right.
They bought those call letters.
Yep, I was going to say, that transition afterwards took place 2008.
Oh, wow.
Don's son, John, went and searched for him again and then bought him.
Wow.
To bring him back to Mankato and have them. So we have both those call letters in house now.
That is crazy. So I have always known KTOE. And then when you see it spelled out, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Mankato.
Yep.
It's Kato. I love it. So the other thing that I'm super excited to have learned is the station was built 3 miles east of Mankato at the intersection of County Road 138 and U.S. Highway 14. Do you know where that's at?
Right here. We have not moved.
This is the same location.
What we're currently broadcasting right now is the original part of the building.
I love it.
It's been remodeled once.
I love it. So it's been so much fun to learn this. When choosing the location, it had to be 3 miles from the local airport and they had to align their towers so as not to interfere with the town's other radio station, KYSM, which was downtown. In less than a year, KTOE increased its power to 1,000 watts, full time, making it the southern Minnesota's most powerful station. At this time, most radio stations had different watts for daytime and nighttime, so this was a big deal because this was 1,000 watts all the round the clock.
Yeah.
And they expanded to an additional studio in St. Peter. Besides live orchestras, soap operas, news and talk shows, K2E began doing play-by-play for area high school and college sports. K2E was also the first station to promote a mobile news team, cars equipped with news radio information or tools to be the fastest resource to provide the news. There's a wonderful photograph of them with their cars and their like telephone box equipment. It's awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's awesome. So this is, I love this because we all listen to K2E and we turn to it for the news, and that is why it got its start. There was a newspaper advertisement in 1978, and so I'm going to read it to you. News, N-E-W-S, is a four-letter word. Some people think it's boring. Others think it's confusing. Others simply don't care. KTOE Radio 1420 takes news seriously. We happen to think that you would like to know why you heard sirens last night. Perhaps you'd like to know why your mayor supports or rejects certain projects you are interested in. Then again, maybe you just want to know what's going on in your town, area, state, or country. KTOE News can keep you informed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If there's an emergency somewhere in Cato Land, we'll be there, giving you the information you need and want. 7 and 8 a.m., 12 noon, 5 and 6 p.m. are the times of major newscasts. We also carry ABC information news every hour on the hour. If there is anything important, we'll get you the information you need, because we take news seriously. Cato Land Radio. News you'd like to know, news you need to know.
I love it.
Isn't that great?
That's so great. I love Cato Land too. That's something when I first started here, 2003, is that they were saying, some of the guys were saying Cato Land a lot. And I was like, okay, I like that. That's kind of gone away now from our vocabulary in the building, but I love that. And then Key City was always used a lot too.
Yes, and Key City, we're talking about media, Key City, K-E-Y-C,
yep.
Our television station right here in Cato Land. So this has just been a lot of fun to learn more about KTOE and news. And I'm personally one of those people, you know, if a bad storm's coming, I'm turning to KTOE because I know I can trust that we're going to get the information we need.
Right. I like to think that a lot of that article from 78 still stands true.
I think so too.
Especially the weather part. I know I take pride in that part. And it's actually something something you have to explain to somebody, like, no, I have to run out to the station now because we have sirens going off or it's coming tonight. I have to be ready. And they're like, why? I'm like, because I have to.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It's a radio thing that's like set up in my brain or something.
I do. I listen when you're listening and the weather is changing and all of a sudden you can hear all of the people, those voices, and those voices, they're all back in the studio. They're all watching it. They're all taking care of it. And it just gives you that peace of mind, right, and that comfort. So again, it goes back to Cato Land Radio, news you'd like to know and news you need to know,
which I
just think is fantastic. And I love the idea, the whole concept that it came full circle and KYSM ended up part of this as well. So, the two stations.
It was a big deal. I remember the day we moved KYSM AM into this building and we set it up next to KTOE, how big our engineers especially kind of geeked out on it.
Oh my
gosh. It was exciting. It really is. So it was a pretty cool deal for them to be able to do that, and they were super excited. So.
I mean, yes. Now after learning this, I can't imagine what that day would have been like, just knowing that these were the two first radio stations right here in Mankato, right here in this area in southern Minnesota that gave us that news. They walked us through the information that residents needed during the 1951 flood, when homes were being evacuated, during the 65 flood, when homes were being evacuated, through flooding, through tornadoes, through blizzards, through whatever our community needed, these two radio stations carried us through it. So
you got some great points, but it's not even, I always go even the next level up, which is the national news. People were listening to KTOE when they heard about JFK.
Mm.
They were listening to KTOE and they got the news for the first hand when they heard about the towers in 2001.
Mm.
You know, like,
you know,
these
what?
Things that you don't even think about.
No.
I remember listening. I was actually on the way back the one morning. I wasn't listening to our stations as I was over by Red Wing at coming back to Mankato. But when I finally heard about us capturing Osama bin Laden, and the amount of emotion that just washes over you when you hear that news.
Exactly. You know, when you said that, I put it in context. KYSM hit the airwaves on 1938, which means the Mankato community heard about Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Through KYSM.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's incredible. It really
is. Wow. So imagine that. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing to think about how much radio has changed our lives. And of course, kind of going back to it, we aren't bringing this up to what it is today, so to speak. But after the invention of the television, we all know that the golden age of radio transitioned from their programs that families were sitting around the radio listening to watching them on TV. And it transitioned to top 40 music being played most of the time. And target audiences went from those families to preteens up to adults in their mid-30s. Those became the new target audiences. Music and radio continue to rise in popularity until they became synonymous with each other. We all can see how that works. And FM radio stations began to overtake those original AM stations, and new forms of music, such as rock and roll, began to emerge. Today, there is still a radio in every car sold, but now you can also stream music, news, talk, podcasts on your phone. You can stream them around your house. You can stream them off of the internet. I mean, it just the way we receive this information has changed, but it's still coming back from these studios.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool.
It's really cool. I mean, a lot of that content is created, if nothing else, been forged a path because of what's happened on the radio over the years. I mean, just here locally, we weren't going to bring up to current times, but the Linder family has helped this building grow and this company grow to now have 7+ radio stations in here, from News Talk here on KTOE, still The Fan, country music, classic country, top 40 music, pop and classic hits. It's just everything, and it's been really exciting to be part of. And to hear the origins of Radio Mankato is always really exciting. I could go on this about all day. So
I know, isn't it awesome?
You better be careful what you let me do here.
I love it. I think it's just been a fun way to be able to talk about. We've talked about our history with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Now we could talk about your history with Radio Mankato, and I love it. I think that's the whole point, is that we want to. This podcast is always about being surrounded by history, and every day we're surrounded by the history that's coming through our airwaves, that's coming through our televisions, that we see on our drives or we hear on our drives. And so I hope everybody enjoyed our program today as we went down a fun little rabbit hole.
I agree.
And that you enjoyed Surrounded by History. And this program is brought to you by the, I had to write it this way, okay, so it's not official, but it sounds like the end of a radio program. Thank you for tuning in today to Surrounded by History. This program is brought to you by the Archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Until next time, we hope you see and hear the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato.